Tuesday morning. What's up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here, MP, on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app, as it always is, as it always will be. Great week of shows for you. We'll dive into everything. Got thoughts on the Stanley Cup. You know I got thoughts on the Stanley Cup. We'll play the soccer clip of the night from our Spanish language friends, as we do. We'll say a happiest 40 birthday to the movie Karate Kid, which turns 40 this week. All that going on later in today's program. We'll open the listener lines up to you as well. Here's where I want to start this morning. I promised big news. I have what I think is some pretty big news. So we'll get after it. That's big news music right there. I like it. That communicates the urgency of the news. That well played, Hazel. Nicely done. Here's what's going on. First, I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be here every day talking to you 10 to noon. That's not going to change. We'll still talk about sports. We'll still talk about the Commanders. We'll do all that. As you guys know, I spent 16 years at the local newspaper, and I am in my blood and in my soul a writer at heart. I enjoy this immensely and have a ton of fun with y'all every day. But when I left the newspaper to come do this and started doing this, I was always upfront with my bosses, who have been great about this, that I wanted to get back to writing someday. I kind of always envisioned that would be me writing about sports, because that's what I do and that's what I know. I also have many other passions, though, and we'll cut straight to the chase here. I don't have any written notes here. I'll just kind of tell you about my project. We're starting a nonprofit news site in Richmond. So it's called The Richmonder. You can go to richmonder.org and sign up for our email list today. I'm not going to blast you with that every day, but I do hope you'll consider dropping your email address. Stay in tune to what we're doing. We're going to launch September 9th, and this is born from, it's brutal out there in media land. I don't think I'm breaking any news here telling you that. Even the big-name media outlets right now, the Washington Post, it has a lot of egg on its face right now as they're navigating leadership transitions, their audiences down. Certainly don't have to tell you what's happened close to home, where the newspaper is shrinking. And as I always told everybody, oh, this is ridiculous, you know, what's happening at the newspaper. And while I don't disagree, I do want to be very clear, it's not just a Richmond problem. This is happening everywhere. There were some decisions made in Richmond that I don't think were the best decisions, but I think we're in the middle of a tidal wave here where the news industry is being very radically reshaped. And so when I got laid off from the newspaper, I asked around. One of my favorite media outlets right now is the Cardinal News. They're down in Roanoke. It's a group of people. Dwayne Yancey's one of the main writers down there. I love Dwayne. He's amazing. When they left the Roanoke Times and got laid off and the Roanoke Times got gutted, they got a group together and said, how do we keep Roanoke on the map? Kind of quite literally, right? How do we tell the stories of Roanoke and what's going on here? And they started this outlet. It's called the Cardinal News. You can look them up online. And so when I got laid off from the newspaper, I thought, that sounds fun. I hope somebody's doing that here in Richmond. There's some other great examples nationally, too. The Baltimore Banner is doing really good work up in Baltimore. The Texas Tribune, I think, is very well known for their coverage of government and politics in Texas. Mississippi Today is another example, a place that kind of went where there wasn't news and said, let's start providing it in a nonprofit business model. So I'll rewind to what that means real quick here, which is, the newspaper for a long time had a lot of reporters who wrote about what was going on in town. As much as we loved doing that and loved doing that for you, the bottom line is the newspaper didn't make all its money from us doing that. That wasn't the core business of the newspaper. sold classifieds and sold Macy's advertising and sold pizza coupons and told you what time movies were playing and all those other things that made the newspaper a lot of money and paid for us to do our job, which we were very appreciative of. But a lot of those revenue sources are gone and are not coming back. The movies were never, the Richmonder's never going to tell you when the movies are playing. If you need to know when a movie's playing, you got options. If you need to get a pizza coupon, you got options there too. And so the realization is, right, that there's this important civic function that the newspaper played. And especially in Richmond, a city that, I'll speak to my Richmond experience here, because I've lived here 17 years now. And this place, I think I've been here long enough I can say it. This place is really messed up. And I love it. I love it so much. I love this city. I love, you know, everything about it. But it's also really messed up in a lot of very fundamental ways that go back a very long time. And so I think journalists and journalism play a very important role in shedding light on that. I got two kids who are in Richmond Public Schools. I don't know if you've ever watched a school board meeting. It's not our finest governing body at the moment. And a lot of that is there's no professional journalist there keeping the lights on and telling those stories. And so a lot of this is just, you know, how can we bring that back? And, you know, we wrote down a number of core values. They're on the site. It's at richmonder.org. I hope you'll swing by, check it out. We're not partisan. We're not biased. We're never going to do that. We're never going to go down that road. I love the nonprofit business model because we're not trying to be poor. That's not the goal here. But we're not trying to be rich either. Because the way to get rich in media is to say outlandish things and to cater to a group of people who all have very passionate beliefs and tell them they're right about everything. And I just fundamentally think that's not good for society. And that's not good for us as a city. I think we function best when, you know, you've got a news outlet that can play it straight, tell you what's happening, give you the information, and let you as a citizen take it from there. Introduce you to people you need to know who are doing good things in the community. So that's what we're going to do. I'm on the sports show, so I'll address everybody. Yes, are you going to write about sports? Yeah, I'm going to keep writing about sports. I love sports. I can wax poetic for hours about sports as a microcosm into society, which I absolutely believe it is. And we take those issues on here from time to time, and we'll continue to take those issues on. But there's an important gap in the market right now, and that is just people who will go down to City Hall and go ask questions and see what's going on and report that information back. And that's the Richmonder. That's what I'm starting. So right now, we have two employees. It's me and it's David Poole. You may know the name. He did the Virginia Public Access Project, VPAP, which charts public donations to political candidates, which is just a super valuable resource. One of the things that Virginia has that other states don't have that's awesome, that's really cool for them to for people to see what's going on. And it's the same thing. It's not biased, it's not slanted, it's just information. And I think that information is more important today than it's ever been before, arguably at any time in civic life. And so part of why we're launching in September, on September 9th, is a big election coming up, and we're not going to put our thumbs on the scale in that election. We're going to provide information to people and give them the information they need to know so they can make the choices they want to make for our city and for its future. So that's what I'm up to. It's called the Richmonder. It's at richmonder.org. We're bringing back professional reporting. We got more people who are coming on board. We'll announce them in the lead up to September 9th. I'm sure we'll share that. I haven't recruited Hazel yet, but Hazel writes. So if you've got a pulse and you can write a story, text me, reach out to me. Because we do. We want to spotlight the best of the community, and we're also going to have professional reporters who get to the bottom of stuff and you know, go down and ask questions and do things. We, you know, my nickname here, right, the professor, because I taught journalism for a semester over at VCU between these two jobs. And one of the things I just really worked to instill into the kids was you can't do journalism by staring at your phone. And you can't do journalism by browsing Facebook. That's a start. You can start there. But the finish is going down and talking to people and asking questions and getting answers. That's what we're here for. That's what we're going to do. That's the mission. I'm sure you'll have a lot of other questions. Hopefully we answer some of them on the site at richmonder.org. There's a frequently asked questions, a FAQ, as they call it in the business. You can browse through. But it's a nonprofit. It's an acknowledgement, and it's a swallow your pride moment for journalism too, right? Because journalists believe they're the most important people in every room, and sometimes they're right. But this notion that the way we can get quality journalism is not by selling $1 million worth of ads or chasing clicks or anything like that, but by just saying, hey, this is really important to our city, and donating to this is really important to what we do, and we're going to keep it super local, super focused. So everybody, what about Axios? Axios wrote a nice article about us this morning. I love Axios. What about BizSense? What about, you know, VPM, who does such a great job of state house coverage and state issues? We'll never touch that. We're not going up the hill to the General Assembly. This is your community. We'll have Gary Hess in here on Friday. Obviously, nobody's done more for high school sports in the last couple decades than Gary Hess. But that's the essence of what we're doing. Going into your neighborhoods, telling your stories, and really trying to reclaim some of that sense of community that I think we've all lost over the last few years. There's COVID. There's the political divide. There's a lot of other things. But I think at the end of the day, we can all sit down together around a table, tell stories, be a community. I think we'll be better off for it, for listening to each other. That's my pie in the sky dream that we're shooting for here. So it's the Richmonder, richmonder.org. I'm not going to blow you up about it every single day on this show. I'm sure I'll talk about it from time to time because we're going to have really exciting stuff going on. I hope you'll check it out. If you like this show, I'm sure you'll like it because it's just me in written form. It's basically the same thing, but you don't have to listen to me. You can just skim me instead at your leisure. So sign up, have fun, and we'll keep you posted on that. But I wanted to start today's show with that and with that news, both to share. I'm super excited about this. I've put a lot of work into this, and we're going to put a lot of work into this, and I think it's very needed. But also to let everybody know, I'm not going anywhere. 10 to noon every weekday. Except next week when we're on vacation, you get best of MP next week. But I'm coming back after that. I'm not going away. I'll be here every day, 10 to noon. We'll talk about sports. We got a great Washington Commanders season coming up. Tons of storylines, tons of interest across the board. You know I love hockey, so last night was a big night for me anyway. One, I'm launching a website. Two, I'm watching a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. That's a good night right there. We're off and running. Light up the listener lines if you want to, if you got something to say about any of that. 833-804-0910. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Tuesday morning, what's up? Thank you all to those of you who reached out by text and elsewhere with kind words, just words about the Richmonder. All words are good words. Was it no publicity is bad publicity? I don't fully buy into that. I think there is such a thing as bad publicity. but in this case, as we start to spread the word, I think it's going to be a ton of fun. There's a lot of work to do. It turns out starting a company is a lot of work. Who knew? If I had known that a few months ago. No, it's cool to be doing it, though, and I think what comes out on the other side is going to be really, really awesome here. Marlon joins us.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up? Marlon's already heard about the Richmonder. Word is spreading here.
Like quickly. Wildfire.
All right. Good NFL team today, so we'll allow time for that. I won't ramble too long, but you're here. You're our soccer guy, so you can enjoy today's soccer clip of the day. We got two rules on this show. Either the U.S. team does something good or we play the clip in Spanish. Last night at Copa America, Brazil, mighty Brazil, took on Costa Rica. Let's cut to the finish here. This is the end of Brazil Costa Rica.
Otra vez en actividad. El árbitro silba al final del partido. Costa Rica le arranca el empate a la selección de Brasil en SoFi, en Inglewood, California. Brasil 0, Costa Rica 0.
All right, that's the final call of the game right there. That's all you've heard. Do you know who won last night?
No, I don't.
Okay, all you've heard is that clip. Who do you think won that game last night?
I kind of want to go for Costa Rica.
Yeah, 0-0. Oh. Nil-nil. Nobody scored. It was a tie. Oh. They're calling the ties more exciting than work. You're correct, though. Yeah. Costa Rica won the tie.
Okay. How do you win a tie?
That's what we love about soccer. That's what we love about soccer. Brazil was such a better team that the tie is a loss for them and a win for Costa Rica.
Wow.
Yeah. Brazil had a goal, got it disallowed by the video replay review.
Oh, did it go fully past the line?
I don't know what happened. What I know is the replay scourge knows no international bounds. It's traveling worldwide, and it will not be stopped until every sport cannot celebrate exciting moments without wondering if there will be a replay review first.
Literally.
Yeah.
It was bad enough when the tennis was doing it. Many rallies ruined it.
Exactly. U.S. still 1-0 here in the tournament, 1-0. U.S. plays Thursday against Panama in the group stage. As we get closer to Thursday, I will tell the story. I have seen one international soccer game in my life, and it was the U.S. against Panama in the Gold Cup back in the day. This is the America Cup, though. This is Copa America. This is the big deal. All of which is to say, Marlon's here to introduce us to an NFL team each day. And we are in the NFC North, flying through. And we've done the Bears and the Lions, which leaves us with two very interesting teams to go here.
And for those, we're going to start with the Packers.
All right. Yep. Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. And in Wisconsin, if you don't know.
The Cheeseheads.
Yeah.
Who do we need to know here on the Green Bay Packers?
Some of the most notable players. Obviously, we got Jordan Love at QB last season. He threw over 4,000 passing yards and over 244 a game. We have Aaron Jones, a running back, rushed for over 656 yards with 56 a game. A.J. Dillon also running back with over 600 rushing yards per game, or 600 rushing yards last season, about 40 per game. And even without the veteran Aaron Rodgers, they're still doing pretty good, and the season predictions are pretty high this year.
Season predictions are high. Just A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones is with the Vikings now, so we'll put a bookmark in him, get back to him tomorrow. Quadzilla. A.J. Dillon. That's a good nickname. Yeah. The Packers, though, I'm sick of the Packers because they're lovable. Mm-hmm. It's Green Bay. It's a small town. It's the Cheeseheads. They're publicly owned. There's no reason to hate the Packers.
Yeah.
I just hate that about every 15 years, they're like, we're going to draft a new quarterback now, and he turns out to be awesome.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Commander's land, we're on our 19,000th draft pick since landing on a quarterback. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
I guess Aaron Rodgers is getting kind of old. Yeah, probably time to hit the button and bring in another amazing young quarterback who will just win games for us. Yeah, just sure, yeah. And bring him in, let him sit for a year, and then go do it.
Also, I want to say congratulations to Jordan Love because he got engaged recently. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he got engaged to, I forget her name, but she's a volleyball player.
Okay.
She just recently got engaged, so I want to give a good shout out to them.
Congrats to Jordan Love. Didn't do it on the big screen at a Packers game.
No.
Scores points for that.
Yeah.
We like that around here when they do that. Jordan Love was rolling at the end of last year. They upset the Cowboys in the playoffs. And gave the Niners all they could handle for a minute in the second round of the playoffs. That's why I get this is a good division. We talked about Detroit. Detroit's amazing. I think they're the favorites to win the division. We talked about Chicago. They're much improved. When we get to the Vikings tomorrow, I'm going to tell you I like the Vikings too when we get there. But I think I'll tee it up for you. I won't give you my opinion. I'll tee it up for you, though. Over-under this year on Green Bay Packers wins, which is why we're doing this. We're setting the over-under here for everybody. 9.5 wins this year is the over-under for the Green Bay Packers. I guess I kind of influenced you there with my thoughts. But you brought in your own opinions here. What do you got?
Well, you know, last season they did go 9. Like, they went 9-8, and they finished, like, second in the North Division.
Made the playoffs.
So I think, honestly, I feel like they have, I feel like they have a good chance to get over.
I love this over. Yeah. I do. I think this is a well-coached team that was peaking at the right time last year. Injuries happen. If injuries happen, we can reevaluate. I think this is a really good team. I'm with you. I think we've disagreed the last couple days, so it's good to be back on the same page here.
Yeah.
Build a little team camaraderie. We're both taking the Packers over 9.5 wins this year. I love the early schedule. They've got the Brazil game to open. They're playing in Brazil against the Eagles.
Wow.
Friday nighter to open the season down in Brazil,
man,
which I think will be
exciting game.
I think it'll be an exciting game. I don't know if they'll beat the Eagles, but that'll be a fun opener for the season. Yeah. But then roll this off: Colts, Titans, Vikings, Rams, Cardinals. That's a good 5-week stretch there. Yeah. I know it gets harder later, and they'll have some big games backloaded. Mm-hmm. But momentum's a lot in football, and if they could start 4-2, 5-1.
I think they're probably going to start 5-1 because I do have them losing against the Eagles.
Yeah. Eagles are an interesting story this year because they disappointed last year, but before they disappointed, they were one of the league's best teams for the first 2.5 months of the season.
They just kind of dominant, and then, I don't know.
The wheels fell off.
Yeah. Just fizzled out.
It did. It fizzled out. So we're both on board with the Packers here. So tomorrow we'll talk about the Vikings, who are down to Kirk Cousins, but certainly still have a lot of talent. Justin Jefferson got his big contract there. We'll dive into all that. So thank you, Marlon.
Of course. Thanks for having me again.
All right. Excellent. When I was with the newspaper, I love to do this with the interns where you ask them about things and see if they knew about them. Have you ever seen the original Karate Kid movie?
Parts.
All right.
I know the important key moments. I haven't seen
I think because there's the Netflix had the reboot, the Cobra Kai and all that. I think it's back in the popular imagination. It's not quite as obscure. The newspaper is great though because we use pride. We had old floppy disks and stuff, and we're like, "Do you know what this is?" It's the save icon.
We have a tape cutter. We have a tape cutter in the other room.
A tape cutter?
Yeah, when you record it on tape and had to splice. Uh huh.
Yeah, I don't.
Wow.
I don't even know that I've ever seen a tape cutter.
Oh, you got to go over there.
Wow, we may have a field trip later here at Odyssey HQ. All right, thank you, Marlon. Back after this. I haven't talked hockey yet. You know I'm going to talk hockey the day after a Game 7. We'll do it on the other side. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 10:30 Tuesday morning. MP on the mic. Lines are yours, 833-804-0910. Feel like we're cooling down a bit. Yesterday it was tolerable in the evening. We're moving towards tolerable. I like that because it's good to be outside in the summer. Get out, get around, and of course, dial up the free Odyssey app wherever you are. If you missed our opening segments today, we're introduced my new writing project, The Richmonder, which I'm super excited about. Hit the rewind button, grab that. We'll put it on the podcast as well. Of course, you know the other thing I was excited about last night was the Stanley Cup final. Freight train full of hype barreling into this thing. Game 7, team coming from down 3-0. Edmonton has the best skill player on the planet. Florida's maybe got the hottest goalie. Hard for those things to live up to the hype, but this was an excellent game and certainly an excellent third period, and it ends with the Florida Panthers skating around with Lord Stanley's Cup.
10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making is a reality. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah!
Start the celebration, South Florida. The Panthers have done it.
Stanley Cup champions!
Live it up, South Florida. Let's go. Yeah. They say to act like you've been there before, but what if you've never been there before?
Go crazy.
Then it's okay to act like you haven't been there before. He said Lord Stanley was coming back home to South Florida. This is the first time the Stanley Cup will reside in South Florida, unless some of the Canadians brought it there to winter in previous years. That's all right. We're not going to nitpick. That's a good clip. That's a high-quality clip right there. I love the Stanley Cup. I love the emotion of it. Look, Connor McDavid winning it would have been fantastic, but Paul Maurice is the Florida coach. He's been 30 years in the league, hasn't won the Stanley Cup. He is Canadian. Here's Paul Maurice right after the game on Canadian television being interviewed. And this is what you love about sports and games like this. You can just tell how much this meant to him.
Okay, alongside Paul Maurice. Paul, you said you needed to win one, and you've got one now. So what's it feel like?
It's just brilliant, right? I've never hugged so many sweaty men in my entire life. I'm not sure I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do it tonight. So, you know what? It's not what I thought it would be. It's so much better. But it's the hugs, man. I saw Sam Bennett smile today. First time in 2 years. It's brilliant. You know, it's for my mom and dad and Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. My brothers, Mike and Shane, and Sault Ste. Marie and Waterloo. The whole Langlois clan in LaSalle, Ontario. All of the people that suffered through 30 years of me losing, making excuses. Mom and dad, especially. Hey, Dad, your name's going up with your heroes. Belleville, Richard, Hal, Lindsay, Maurice.
Last one for you. After your time in Winnipeg, you were prepared for a career in fishing, but I wonder if there is a better catch than Lord Stanley.
Well, I was just lucky. You know what? It was. So if I could have one thing more, it'd be for the Winnipeg Jets in the next Stanley Cup.
Paul, congratulations.
Thanks, Scott.
Paul Maurice, coach of the Florida Panthers, 30 years, winner of the cup, and an exciting moment for him and his family, obviously. That was not the main talking point, though, after the game, because we had something that rarely happens in any professional sport at any level, and that is at the end of every championship series, they give out the award for the best player of the playoffs, the playoff MVP award. That's the Conn Smythe Trophy in the NHL, which is almost always, 98% of the time, the best player on the team that won the Cup. So Sergei Bobrovsky, the Panthers goalie. Gary Bettman is the NHL commissioner, and he's not like a dynamic public speaker to begin with, but Gary Bettman comes out on the ice to announce who the playoff MVP is, and he looks really nervous, kind of a little bit shaky, maybe. What's going on here? But what's going on here is he has to tell 18,000 Florida Panthers fans and Sergei Bobrovsky, who's standing right there ready to lift the trophy, that he didn't win the Conn Smythe Trophy. Here's Gary Bettman awarding the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Let's first congratulate the Edmonton Oilers and your Florida Panthers on an incredible Stanley Cup final. The winner of the Conn Smythe Trophy is a player who has been the most valuable for the entire playoff run. The player who is going to be given the Conn Smythe this year led the playoffs in scoring and broke Wayne Gretzky's assist record for a playoffs. The winner of the Conn Smythe is Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers. I appreciate Connor McDavid was already back in the locker room. They didn't make him skate back out to collect the trophy in front of the Florida Panthers fans. I thought that was very, very nice of them. They'll deliver that, you know, they'll send that UPS up to Canada. He can get that whenever he's ready to get that. So this is not the first time this has happened. Very short history, though. Jean-Sebastien Jaguer of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, he's the goalie, in 2003, so that's 21 years ago, was the Conn Smythe winner, not on a Stanley Cup champion. Ron Hextall, Philadelphia Flyers, 1987, and Reggie Leach, also the Philadelphia Flyers, in 1976. It happened a couple times in the 60s as well, so it hasn't happened in 21 years that the MVP of the playoffs did not play for the winning team. And this is somewhat unprecedented in all of sports. In the NFL, the last player to be the Super Bowl MVP without being on the winning team was Chuck Howley. He played for the Dallas Cowboys 1971. That's Super Bowl V if you're keeping score, Super Bowl V if you're keeping score in Roman numerals, as they do. The Cowboys did not win the Super Bowl. The Baltimore Colts did. But he became the Super Bowl MVP after a couple great defensive plays in that game. I was curious, and I mentioned this on the air, when they had Game 5 back in Edmonton, Connor McDavid had been electric so far in this series. So good. I said all season long, I just want the best player in the world to be on TV where people can actually watch him instead of playing in Edmonton at 10 o'clock every night where nobody can watch him, which is baseball's problem too. Shohei Ohtani's still raking out there on the West Coast, just nobody's watching it. Better that nobody watched the Nats last night. We'll get to them. The Nats have had a week, lost on the pitch clock violation, blew a 3-run lead in extras last night, lost on a ground rule double. That's all the ways to lose right there, wrapped up into 1 week. But with Connor McDavid, he was electric. He had a 4-point game in the playoffs, backed it up with another 4-point game in the playoffs. I thought if the Panthers had won the cup in Edmonton in Game 6, they might have thrown the bone to the Edmonton crowd. The Panthers won the cup. Here's Connor McDavid. He's the best player of this series. But McDavid didn't score in Game 6. He also didn't have a shot in Game 6. And then last night, the Oilers only scored once, and they had a zillion opportunities. I mean, the last 14 minutes of that game was just them pelting Sergei Bobrovsky with shots. And I thought, all right, it's Bobrovsky. It's got to be. He just stood on his head and won the Stanley Cup for the Panthers, and the defense did it. It's not a decision you can argue with in the sense that McDavid was great. It's just kind of jarring to see the break from tradition, and jarring for Gary Bettman, who's still recovering from having to make that announcement in front of the Florida fans. It's also one of those things that doesn't matter at the end of the day, because Connor McDavid's not... Maybe someday he'll look back at that and be like, yeah, that's my playoff MVP trophy. He doesn't want that right now. Like, you put that on your coffee table. What do you do with that? Yeah, that's the time I was the MVP of the Stanley Cup. Oh, wow. Well, where's your ring? Well, funny story, we didn't win. Maybe someday. Maybe someday he'll appreciate it. It was an electric postseason for him as he continues his quest to be on that list of all-time greats in hockey, which he's certainly on pace to. And not a big deal for Bobrovsky either, who is a world champion this morning. Probably going to be able to shake that off pretty quickly and pretty easily. He'll get a day with the Stanley Cup. Won't have that second trophy alongside him, but he'll find a way. He'll power through it. But a great NHL season comes to a close with a fantastic Game 7. Zach McHugh was in here yesterday. We were talking hockey. Yes, it was premature to put it on the list of all-timer games. And I don't know that that will go on the list of all-timer games, but I know it was a great night for the sport. A lot of people tuned in, a lot of people watching. And the Baby Caps, the Hershey Bears, the Washington Capitals affiliate in the minor leagues, won the Calder Cup as the best minor league hockey team last night. So the future is bright for the Washington Capitals as well. They put out a cool video on their social media. Next year is an anniversary year for the Capitals. 50 years, I believe, as the Washington Capitals. They had a cool retro video dating back to the start of the franchise. So the future is bright there, too. We'll get another year watching Ovechkin set up for this Gretzky goal chase. We'll see what happens with the Oilers. I'm sure they'll try to keep that together, try to make another run. Great night for the sport. Great night for hockey. Great night for the narrative, the discourse, right, for Connor McDavid. If he never wins a cup, but he's one of like seven people ever to be so good, he got the MVP trophy even though he didn't win a cup. Where does he rank on the all-time greats? These are the things summer radio is made out of, and we'll dive into all that. There was another championship last night as well. They gave out the College World Series. We'll tell you who won that, what went down in Omaha on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. In 13 minutes, we'll check in with Trey Wilson. He's the voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Got off a good zinger at Portland, Maine's expense, too. Trey's back from 14 days in the Northeast. Squirrel's back in town starting tonight. He'll give us the exact numbers. It's like 17 games in 22 days, something in that ballpark. Squirrel's in town all week this week against Somerset. That's the Yankees affiliate. That's always a fun series. I know how many of y'all out there are Yankees fans because you let me know about it every time I disparage your beloved ball club on this here radio program. Now's your chance. Go watch the baby Yanks for the next 6 days down at the Diamond. Of course, tune in every night right here on 910 The Fan. Trey and Blaine will have all the action for you. Then they're out for a couple days, but they're back for a long July 4th homestand. Everybody knows how fun July 4th at the Diamond is, and this year will be no exception. I will not be there this year. I've been to a lot of July 4ths at the Diamond. I'll be out of town next week. I try not to say this too often. I don't want to make everybody jealous, but I will be in Wichita, Kansas next week, living my best life. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So a lot of people do refer to that as the South Beach of the South Central Kansas region, Wichita, Kansas. No, what I love about it, we didn't do this intentionally. You know, it's a natural holiday week, so it's a good time to, you know, play some best of, and you know, we'll play some of the our favorite segments from the past year. But what I love about being in Wichita on July 4th, and I grew up there, you can do basically any fireworks you want. There are no rules.
No rules?
No rules, just right.
Okay.
What they do at the Squirrels games,
mm-hmm.
you can just go buy that from a guy in a tent.
Ooh.
You got $10, you can fire one of those off. Wherever you want. There no rules.
Okay.
So I'll be back, hopefully with all 10 fingers the following week to resume the MP on the mic.
You could work with 7.
How many fingers do you need to do a radio show? It seems
you're not even pressing buttons over there.
Look, get a drink in my hand and light a match in the other hand. We were talking about this earlier because I brought my swag bag back from Charlotte.
You did,
which has koozies in it. And I noticed, Marlon, I noticed you went for the Carolina Panthers lanyard, but not the cool lime blue Carolina Panthers sunglasses. Just a little too cool for you there?
Honestly, yeah. I'm not. The lanyard is much more subtle, much more my style.
Yeah. The glasses are a lot. Yeah.
They're a statement piece.
Yeah.
It's a statement. I don't know what that statement is. But why are people still making koozies? Are there people out here who are under koozied?
No.
Nobody's under.
Everyone's over koozied.
The number of koozies I need in life is one.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever decide to become a binge drinker, I'll need two, I guess. It's hard to see a scenario.
One for each hand.
Yeah. It's hard to see a scenario where I would need a third koozie in any circumstance. In
it
life.
Is.
It's.
I'm trying to visualize three koozies in action, and I'm not seeing it.
The third koozie is a refrigerator. That's the third koozie. Or a cooler full of ice.
Yeah.
That's the third koozie. And honestly, probably should be your second koozie. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life on the 4th. But if you're out on a boat, you bring the cooler, bring the ice.
And one koozie.
And a koozie.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the koozies you need. Wait, the koozie manufacturing industry needs to taper it off a little bit.
Take a breath.
You said there's enough koozies in circulation.
We're done with koozies.
We're doing it. I mentioned it's the 40th anniversary of, I think, one of the great, I don't know if it's one of the great sports movies, but I think karate's it's an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in the great sports movies camp. And, of course, one of the great summer talk radio tropes is talking movies. So I think we should acknowledge the 40th anniversary of The Karate Kid.
You promise, learn. I say you do. No question. First, wash all the car. Then wax.
Wait, what do I have to wash all the car?
Remember, dear. No question.
Yeah, but
right. Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, wax off. Breathe in through nose, out the mouth. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important. Wax on, wax off.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Hazel. 40th anniversary of The Karate Kid, which is famous enough to stand on its own, but then, you know, they did the remakes, they've done the other stuff. It's stayed in popular culture. You can still say wax on, wax off, and everybody's there. Now, look, I didn't need more reasons to distrust Google's artificial intelligence search engine. I still use Google, though, because, look, Google has the same advantage Apple has, Facebook has. I use it, and I'm too lazy to switch. I'm sure there are other search engines. I'm aware of that. But, yeah, I type in stuff, and it shows up on Google, and that's that. I typed famous Karate Kid scenes to jog my memory and pull some for the show.
Yeah.
It didn't offer up wax on, wax off as a famous quote from The Karate Kid.
Oh, Google. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're doing here is the answer. That's disappointing.
That is ridiculous.
We'll keep an eye on the movies. That's more of a Stub AWOD camp. They do the Netflix every day. Always in, they keep me up to speed. But when it's in my wheelhouse, and that's in my wheelhouse, we got to give the nod. We got to give the okay there for that. We got a whole nother hour of MP on the mic coming up. I want to get a JJ Redick did his introduction in Los Angeles yesterday. We'll play that for you. We talked about Snoop Dogg yesterday. And then he turns back up at NBC's Olympic coverage last night.
He's so busy.
He's everywhere. He is Mr. Worldwide right now, with apologies to Pitbull. Snoop Dogg far more worldwide than Pitbull at the moment. We'll take you out to the College World Series, give you the baseball rundown. But when we come back, we'll do Tuesdays with Trey. Trey Wilson is the voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, who are back in town this week. Good to have him back in town this week as well. We'll go around the baseball world. I mentioned a brutal loss for the Washington Nationals, who are no strangers to brutal losses this week. They lost on a pitch clock violation. First time in Major League Baseball history a team has had a walk-off pitch clock violation. Last night, up 3 in extra innings out there in San Diego, ground rule double in the bottom of the 10th leads the Padres to victory over the Nats. We'll take it all on. We'll open up the phone lines for you at 833-804-0910. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 11 o'clock MP on the mic, taking you around Richmond all through the summer. We're not going anywhere, neither are the Richmond Flying Squirrels, about to plant themselves at the Diamond for a run of 2 homestands and a mini homestand around the July 4th holiday. You know, every time the Squirrels play, you can catch it right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels joins us every Tuesday morning. He's Trey Wilson. It's Tuesdays with Trey. Welcome home, Trey.
Hey, thanks for having me. And yeah, we've been gone a long time. It's definitely good to be back home. It's a little warm down here, but we'll take it.
You picked the right time to be up in Maine and New Hampshire, and the Squirrels picked the right time to start getting the bats alive. And it's a clean slate starting tonight. Refresh our memory here. Second half of the season, everybody 0-0 chasing this playoff spot again?
Yeah, the first two playoff spots in the league were clinched over the weekend. Hartford won it for the Northeast Division, and Erie, for the third straight year, won it for the Southwest. So if the Squirrels are going to get to the playoffs this year, they're going to have a third straight season facing Erie in the postseason. So now, starting today, is the last half of the season, the back half of the season, and whoever has the best record starting over from 0-0 today, between now and when the regular season ends, we'll clinch the playoff spots out of this division to face Erie. So it's a little weird. The Eastern League was one of the last minor league holdouts on switching to this split season format, but everybody does it now from AAA on down. And it makes for some interesting stuff in the midpoint of the season when you have a pennant chase in June. But yeah, now everything resets back to 0-0, and it's like opening day all over again.
Great time to start a homestand. Great time to have the Eastern League Player of the Week. Congrats to Christian Koss. Not just Eastern League Player of the Week, but did it in a part of the country he's familiar with.
Yeah, the Giants got Christian Koss in a trade on March 27th, which was right as camps were breaking. And the Red Sox traded him. He'd had some really good years in the Boston organization, and I don't know if they just didn't see a path for him forward. You know, they do have one of the top-ranked prospects in all of baseball who plays the same position as Koss with Marcelo Meyer up there in Boston. So, you know, anytime somebody gets traded, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Well, it's a little bit of a positive and a negative. You're kind of irritated or bummed that, you know, the team that you had been with decided to move on from you, but you also have the optimism of, hey, these guys wanted me. And there was a little bit of that for Christian Koss. We had a conversation with him earlier this year. But, yeah, this week was his chance to kind of show them what they're missing. Going back to play against the Red Sox affiliate in Portland, where he's played the last couple of years, where he was their team MVP 2 years ago. I don't think he could have gone a whole lot better. He hit almost 700 for the week. He led all of minor league baseball in batting average for the week. Came through with a game-winning double on Friday night in a 4-3 win for the Flying Squirrels. You know, it's funny. If he hadn't gone 0-for-3 on Sunday, I mean, I think he would have ended up with like 14 or 15 hits instead of just something like 12 hits over five games. He had a pretty good week. It was a lot of fun to watch him. And he did say, we'll have this conversation airing on our pregame tonight, but he said it was a little extra special to have such a great week against his old team, you know, partially because he's got friends over there. And I'm sure partially because it's like a little bit of, hey, this is what you gave up. This is what you lost out on.
It's nice to do that in front of your old bosses and let them know, hey, I'm happy where I'm at now. And by the way, I could still play a little baseball as well. Trey Wilson, voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, joins us every Tuesday. Trey, not a baseball question. I want to commend you for a fantastic zinger, though. We mentioned Richmond is this year's best American town to visit, as per CNN. Trey wrote on the Twitter box yesterday. It's America's best towns to visit. Number one, Richmond, Virginia. Number four, Portland, Maine. That's five times Richmond has topped Portland in the last 7 days. Wow. I love it. Love sticking it to Portland, Maine. Would love to stick it to Somerset a few times this week. Now, Somerset, that's the Yankees affiliate. They're coming to town. I know they always bring a lot of Yankees fans with them, a ton of interest to the Diamond, and they've got a really good team this year, too.
Yeah, they always, the Yankees, you know, they used to just go out and buy big expensive free agents, and then at a certain point they saw what other teams were doing and like, all right, fine, we'll go out and buy expensive free agents and invest a ton of money into player development. So they've had good teams in this league for as long as I've been in this league over the last decade. And but to your previous point, Portland, Maine is incredible. I love Portland. That was a friendly jab. I am not opposed to you talking a whole bunch more crap about plenty of Eastern League teams now, even though we're all friendly. But I was very happy to see Portland on the list. I was also happy to see Richmond. It's when I was with Altoona, when I was the broadcaster for Altoona, I always said my two favorite places to go in this league were Richmond and Portland. They were by far the two best places in this league, and there they are popping up in the top four of towns to visit all across America. But yes, Somerset, New Jersey. They're in a town called Bridgewater. They're coming down here this week. It is very much just suburban New Jersey. Nothing exciting there, but they have a baseball team. They wear pinstripes. They look like the Yankees. They just says Patriots instead of Yankees across the jersey, and they're going to be here this week. But a lot of these guys are going to be playing in Yankee Stadium sometime soon.
It's a pipeline these days. Yeah, you mentioned the old days didn't matter who Somerset fielded on their team because they just go buy some free agents when it was time to do that. But it's a different league now and a different style of development where if you're not working on the farm system, you don't stand a chance when it's time to field the big league team. The Yankees certainly put a lot of time into that, and I know a ton of Yankees fans, as much as I razz them, and I do quite regularly on this program. They'll be out there. They'll be full-throated. They'll be cheering this week at the Diamond, and we'll give them that dispensation to do that this week, as long as they go out there and support local baseball and everything going on at the Diamond. And I mentioned you guys are kind of hunkered in for a homestand here. You're gone for 3 days after this, but then you're back for a nice long homestand.
Yeah, after being gone for a lot of May and June, we had two 2-week road trips in there. We only played one full home series in May. We're going to be home a lot in July. So, this week is the first time that we've been at home in a couple of weeks. Pretty excited for that. A lot of fun stuff going on this week. We have fireworks on Thursday. There's the tattoo sleeve giveaway presented by Duke's Mayo on Friday night. For the first 1,000 adults ages 18 and over. It's like one of those Iverson sleeves, except it makes it look like you have a tattoo sleeve on your arm. And
that's a great Richmond giveaway. I love it.
That's the whole thought. There was a lot of intentional thought behind that from our awesome promo crew on our staff. And the Negro Leagues Heritage Night is coming up on Saturday night with In Your Face fireworks, of course. And the jerseys that the team is going to be wearing, paying tribute to Negro League Baseball, they look awesome. They've been very well received. That's coming up this Saturday. Those jerseys are being auctioned off. With the proceeds benefiting Flying Squirrels Charities. And then if anybody has young kids, they're very aware of Bluey. And we have Bluey at the Diamond on Sunday. I don't really need to sell it a whole lot more than that because if you know, you know, and it's going to be crazy.
That is a legit celebrity sighting right there. That's pretty good. Bluey, what I love about Bluey is the shows are 9 minutes long, which speaks to my attention span. It's the pitch clock of children's TV shows.
Yeah, it keeps it moving along, kind of like baseball today. I will say, by the way, the next game that we're home after this week is the 4th of July, and there are only a few tickets left. I mean, we are extremely close to having that one sold out. So if you're planning on coming to the Diamond for the 4th of July, which is very much the place to be in Richmond on Independence Day, I would go get your tickets like 5 minutes ago, but if you can't do that, I would go get them now.
It's the next best. Next best thing to 5 minutes ago. I love it. Any highlights from your trip to the Northeast that you can bring back for us?
Well, it was unusually warm up there, not as hot as up here, but it was quite hot for a couple of days, and then it was like freezing. One day it was 93, and the next day the high was 60, and so that kind of threw things for a loop. But I had never been to New England before I worked in this league, so now I've been lucky enough to go up there for the last decade. I down here is obviously my favorite place to be, but I really like being up in Maine. I don't know if I ever thought about that as a place that I would enjoy. There's, you know, some of the coastal towns there. It's an awesome vacation place. I was obviously there working, but it's a great food town. Portland is. Took the off day and went up to Acadia National Park, went and did some hiking and some sightseeing up there about 3 hours north of Portland. It's an awesome place, and never would have really even thought that Maine was such a great destination. Maybe it's because I grew up in a Virginia bubble, but it's definitely a cool place, and I always enjoy when we get to go up there. It's the cool thing about doing this, and same thing for you, Michael. You've gotten to travel around to places you'd never see otherwise. You're covering NFL teams and going to places like Las Vegas, and I'm working in minor league baseball and going to places like Clinton, Iowa.
It's a win-win right there. I have been to Acadia National Park. I love the outdoors. Cadillac Mountain's the big mountain there. I have one objection to Acadia National Park. It's I'd say it's not like the hike to end all hikes, but it's about 2.5 hours to hike from the bottom of Cadillac Mountain to the top. So you put in some work, you get sweaty, it's hot, obviously. There's also a paved road to the top of Cadillac Mountain. So you get to the top, and it's a beautiful view of the main coast and all the, you know, all the beautiful things that you hear about. And then somebody gets out of their car with their bag of McDonald's, like, yeah, that's cool. All right. Yeah, let's go find another McDonald's, and then vroom, drives off. Like, why did I walk all this way?
I will say, due to time constraints, we drove.
You were cool about it, though.
Some other trails. Oh yeah, but it drives me nuts. Look, I go, my girlfriend and I, when we travel around at all these places, including in the league, we go see all these great natural sites. We love to go hiking and all that. We didn't have time to hike Cadillac, but we did drive up it. But it drives me nuts when I get up there and there's people just like making a whole bunch of noise. Like, I'm trying to enjoy nature here. Can y'all shut up?
We're trying to enjoy nature here.
it happened at Acadia. We went to there's the pond, Jordan Pond. It's a beautiful scene there with the kind of some mountains in the background that reflect off the pond. And there was this mom, and I felt bad for her. I felt empathy and compassion because she was a mom doing her best, but she was screaming at the top of her lungs at her kids for like 10 straight minutes. Really messing with my nature and my serenity. And I feel for her because it's not an easy task, but at the same time, it's negatively impacting my day. Can y'all take it somewhere else?
Serenity now!
Serenity now! It doesn't work.
Trey Wilson's voice.
Frank taught us all, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't work at all. Trey Wilson's voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. You hear them every night right here on The Fan. Thank you for making some time for us. See you at the Diamond this week.
Yeah, I'll talk to you all tonight at about 6:35.
All right, off he goes and off we go. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. It's Tuesday morning. It's MP on the mic. Thanks to Trey for dropping by. Update us on everything going on with the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Trey is not responsible for the new stadium. I don't hold him personally responsible for that. We've got a distressing news story this morning on the Richmond Stadium front. This is not where we want to be right now. The city of Richmond may not be able to issue the Flying Squirrels Stadium bonds in time to save the $24 million in sales tax that will expire by state law on July 1st. Eric Kalenich, our guy at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, reporting that Lincoln Saunders, the city's chief administrative officer, says the city will not be able to issue the bonds in time, citing a lawsuit by Paul Goldman that has drawn out the process. The lawsuit was thrown out by a city judge, but he still has the right to appeal within the next few days. Quick reminder here, a lot of the urgency, there are two urgencies around the Flying Squirrel Stadium project. One of them was Major League Baseball has said, open up a new stadium or we'll move the team to somewhere that will. And so that's an urgency here. The second one was the state law changed this year, and it used to be the tax money that you generated from a project like this, building a new stadium, could funnel back into the project itself.
Those out the mouth. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important. Wax on, wax off.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Hayes. The 40th anniversary of the Karate Kid, which is famous enough to stand on its own, but then, you know, they did the remakes, they've done the other stuff. It's stayed in popular culture. You can still say wax on, wax off, and everybody's there. Now, look, I didn't need more reasons to distrust Google's artificial intelligence search engine. I still I use Google, though, because, look, Google has the same advantage Apple has, Facebook has. I use it, and I'm too lazy to switch. You know, I'm sure there are other search engines. I'm aware of that. But, yeah, I type in stuff, and it shows up on Google, and that's that. I typed famous Karate Kid scenes to, you know, jog my memory and you know, pull some for the show.
Yeah.
It didn't offer up wax on, wax off as a famous quote from the Karate Kid.
Oh, Google. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're doing here is the answer. That's disappointing.
That is just what a ridiculous.
we'll uh We'll keep an eye on the movies. That's more of a Stub AWOD camp. They do the Netflix every day. Always in, they keep me up to speed. But when it's in my wheelhouse, and that's in my wheelhouse, we got to give the nod. We got to give the okay there for that. We got a whole nother hour of MP on the mic coming up. I want to get a JJ Redick did his introduction in Los Angeles yesterday. We'll play that for you. We talked about Snoop Dogg yesterday. And then he turns back up at NBC's Olympic coverage last night.
He's so busy.
He's everywhere. He is Mr. Worldwide right now, with apologies to Pitbull. Snoop Dogg, far more worldwide than Pitbull at the moment. We'll take you out to the College World Series, give you the baseball rundown. But when we come back, we'll do Tuesdays with Trey. Trey Wilson is the voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, who are back in town this week. Good to have him back in town this week as well. We'll go around the baseball world. I mentioned a brutal loss for the Washington Nationals, who are no strangers to brutal losses this week. They lost on a pitch clock violation. First time in Major League Baseball history a team has had a walk-off pitch clock violation. Last night, up 3 in extra innings out there in San Diego, ground rule double in the bottom of the 10th leads the Padres to victory over the Nats. We'll take it all on. We'll open up the phone lines for you at 833-804-0910. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 11 o'clock MP on the mic, taking you around Richmond all through the summer. We're not going anywhere, neither are the Richmond Flying Squirrels, about to plant themselves at the Diamond for a run of 2 homestands and a mini homestand around the July 4th holiday. You know, every time the Squirrels play, you can catch it right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels joins us every Tuesday morning. He's Trey Wilson. It's Tuesdays with Trey. Welcome home, Trey.
Hey, thanks for having me. And yeah, we've been gone a long time. It's definitely good to be back home. It's a little warm down here, but we'll take it.
You picked the right time to be up in Maine and New Hampshire, and the Squirrels picked the right time to start getting the bats alive, and it's a clean slate starting tonight. Refresh our memory here. Second half of the season, everybody 0-0 chasing this playoff spot again?
Yeah, the first 2 playoff spots in the league were clinched over the weekend. Hartford won it for the Northeast Division, and Erie, for the 3rd straight year, won it for the Southwest. So if the Squirrels are going to get to the playoffs this year, they're going to have a 3rd straight season facing Erie in the postseason. So now, starting today, is the last half of the season, the back half of the season, and whoever has the best record starting over from 0-0 today, between now and when the regular season ends, will clinch the playoff spots out of this division to face Erie. So it's a little weird. The Eastern League was one of the last minor league holdouts on switching to this split season format, but everybody does it now from AAA on down. And it makes for some interesting stuff in the midpoint of the season when you have a pennant chase in June. But yeah, now everything resets back to 0-0, and it's like opening day all over again.
Great time to start a homestand. Great time to have the Eastern League Player of the Week. Congrats to Christian Koss. Not just Eastern League Player of the Week, but did it in a part of the country he's familiar with.
Yeah, the Giants got Christian Koss in a trade on March 27th, which was right as camps were breaking, and the Red Sox traded him. He'd had some really good years in the Boston organization, and I don't know if they just didn't see a path for him forward. You know, they do have one of the top-ranked prospects in all of baseball who plays the same position as Koss, with Marcelo Meyer up there in Boston. So, you know, anytime somebody gets traded, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Well, it's a little bit of a positive and a negative. You're kind of irritated or bummed that, you know, the team that you had been with decided to move on from you, but you also have the optimism of, hey, these guys wanted me. And there was a little bit of that for Christian Koss. We had a conversation with him earlier this year. But, yeah, this week was his chance to kind of show them what they're missing. Going back to play against the Red Sox affiliate in Portland, where he's played the last couple of years, where he was their team MVP 2 years ago. I don't think he could have gone a whole lot better. He hit almost 700 for the week. He led all of minor league baseball in batting average for the week. Came through with a game-winning double on Friday night in a 4-3 win for the Flying Squirrels. you know, it's funny. If he hadn't gone 0-for-3 on Sunday, I mean, I think he would have ended up with like 14 or 15 hits instead of just something like 12 hits over five games. He had a pretty good week. It was a lot of fun to watch him. And he did say, we'll have this conversation airing on our pregame tonight, but he said it was a little extra special to have such a great week against his old team, you know, partially because he's got friends over there. And I'm sure partially because it's like a little bit of, hey, this is what you gave up. This is what you lost out on.
It's nice to do that in front of your old bosses and let them know, hey, I'm happy where I'm at now. And by the way, I could still play a little baseball as well. Trey Wilson, voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, joins us every Tuesday. Trey, not a baseball question. I want to commend you for a fantastic zinger, though. We mentioned Richmond is this year's best American town to visit, as per CNN. Trey wrote on the Twitter box yesterday. It's America's best towns to visit. Number one, Richmond, Virginia. Number four, Portland, Maine. That's five times Richmond has topped Portland in the last 7 days. Wow. I love it. Love sticking it to Portland, Maine. Would love to stick it to Somerset a few times this week. Now, Somerset, that's the Yankees affiliate. They're coming to town. I know they always bring a lot of Yankees fans with them, a ton of interest to the Diamond, and they've got a really good team this year, too.
Yeah, they always, the Yankees, you know, they used to just go out and buy big expensive free agents, and then at a certain point they saw what other teams were doing and like, all right, fine, we'll go out and buy expensive free agents and invest a ton of money into player development. So they've had good teams in this league for as long as I've been in this league over the last decade. And but to your previous point, Portland, Maine is incredible. I love Portland. That was a friendly jab. I am not opposed to you talking a whole bunch more crap about plenty of Eastern League teams now, even though we're all friendly. But I was very happy to see Portland on the list. I was also happy to see Richmond. It's when I was with Altoona, when I was the broadcaster for Altoona, I always said my two favorite places to go in this league were Richmond and Portland. They were by far the two best places in this league, and there they are popping up in the top four of towns to visit all across America. But yes, Somerset, New Jersey, they're in a town called Bridgewater. They're coming down here this week. It is very much just suburban New Jersey. Nothing exciting there, but they have a baseball team. They wear pinstripes. They look like the Yankees. They just says Patriots instead of Yankees across the jersey, and they're going to be here this week. But a lot of these guys are going to be playing in Yankee Stadium sometime soon.
It's a pipeline these days. Yeah, you mentioned the old days didn't matter who Somerset fielded on their team because they just go buy some free agents when it was time to do that. But it's a different league now, and a different style of development where if you're not working on the farm system, you don't stand a chance when it's time to field the big league team. The Yankees certainly put a lot of time into that, and I know a ton of Yankees fans, as much as I razz them and I do quite regularly on this program, they'll be out there, they'll be full-throated, they'll be cheering this week at the Diamond, and we'll give them that dispensation to do that this week, as long as they go out there and support local baseball and everything going on at the Diamond. And I mentioned you guys are kind of hunkered in for a homestand here. You're gone for 3 days after this, but then you're back for a nice long homestand.
Yeah, after being gone for a lot of May and June, you know, we had two-week road trips in there. We only played one full home series in May. We're going to be home a lot in July. So, yeah, this week is the first time that we've been at home in a couple of weeks. Pretty excited for that. A lot of fun stuff going on this week. You know, we have fireworks on Thursday. There's the tattoo sleeve giveaway presented by Duke's Mayo on Friday night.
Oh,
for the first 1,000 adults ages 18 and over. It's like one of those Iverson sleeves, except it makes it look like you have a tattoo sleeve on your arm. And
that's a great Richmond giveaway. I love it.
That's the whole thought. You know, there was a lot of intentional thought behind that from our awesome promo crew on our staff. And the Negro Leagues Heritage Night is coming up on Saturday night with In Your Face fireworks, of course. And the jerseys that the team is going to be wearing, paying tribute to Negro League Baseball, they look awesome. They've been very well received. That's coming up this Saturday. Those jerseys are being auctioned off. With the proceeds benefiting Flying Squirrels charities. And then if anybody has young kids, they're very aware of Bluey. And we have Bluey at the Diamond on Sunday. I don't really need to sell it a whole lot more than that, because if you know, you know, and it's going to be crazy.
That is a legit celebrity sighting right there. That's pretty good. Bluey, what I love about Bluey is that the shows are 9 minutes long, which speaks to my attention span. It's the pitch clock of children's TV shows.
Yeah, yeah, it keeps it moving along, kind of like baseball today. I will say, by the way, the next game that we're home after this week is the 4th of July, and there are only a few tickets left. I mean, we are extremely close to having that one sold out. So if you're planning on coming to the Diamond for the 4th of July, which is very much the place to be in Richmond on Independence Day, I would go get your tickets like 5 minutes ago, but if you can't do that, I would go get them now.
It's the next best. Next best thing to 5 minutes ago. I love it. Any highlights from your trip to the Northeast that you can bring back for us?
Well, it was unusually warm up there, not as hot as up here, but it was quite hot for a couple of days, and then it was like freezing. It was one day it was 93, and the next day the high was 60, and so that kind of threw things for a loop. But I had never been to New England before I worked in this league, so now I've been lucky enough to go up there for the last decade. I down here is obviously my favorite place to be, but I really like being up in Maine. I don't know if I ever thought about that as a place that I would enjoy. There's, you know, some of the coastal towns there. It's an awesome vacation place. I was obviously there working, but it's a great food town. Portland is. Took the off day and went up to Acadia National Park, went and did some hiking and some sightseeing up there about 3 hours north of Portland. It's an awesome place, and never would have really even thought that Maine was such a great destination. Maybe it's because I grew up in a Virginia bubble, but it's definitely a cool place, and I always enjoy when we get to go up there. It's the cool thing about doing this, and same thing for you, Michael. You've gotten to travel around
yep.
to places you'd never see otherwise. You're covering NFL teams and going to places like Las Vegas, and I'm working in minor league baseball and going to places like Clinton, Iowa.
Yeah, it's a win-win right there. I have been to Acadia National Park. I love the outdoors. Cadillac Mountain's the big mountain there. I have one objection to Acadia National Park. It's I'd say it's not like the hike to end all hikes, but it's about 2.5 hours to hike from the bottom of Cadillac Mountain to the top. So you put in some work, you get sweaty. It's hot, obviously. There's also a paved road to the top of Cadillac Mountain. So you get to the top, and it's a beautiful view of the Maine coast and all the, you know, all the beautiful things that you hear about. And then somebody gets out of their car with their bag of McDonald's, like, yeah, that's cool. All right. Yeah, let's go find another McDonald's, and then vroom, drives off. Like, why did I walk all this way?
I will say, due to time constraints, we drove.
You were cool about it, though.
Some other trails. Oh yeah, but it drives me nuts. Look, my girlfriend and I, when we travel around at all these places, including in the league, we go see all these great natural sites. We love to go hiking and all that. We didn't have time to hike Cadillac, but we did drive up it. But it drives me nuts when I get up there and there's people just like making a whole bunch of noise. Like, I'm trying to enjoy nature here. Can y'all shut up?
We're trying to enjoy nature
here.
it
happened at Acadia. We went to there's the pond, Jordan Pond. It's a beautiful scene there with the kind of some mountains in the background that reflect off the pond. And there was this mom, and I felt bad for her. I felt empathy and compassion because she was a mom doing her best, but she was screaming at the top of her lungs at her kids for like 10 straight minutes. Really messing with my nature and my serenity. And I feel for her because it's not an easy task, but at the same time, it's negatively impacting my day. Can y'all take it somewhere else?
Serenity now!
Serenity now! It doesn't work.
Trey Wilson's voice.
Thank God it's all. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It just doesn't work at all. Trey Wilson's voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. You hear them every night right here on The Fan. Thank you for making some time for us. See you at the Diamond this week.
Yeah, I'll talk to you all tonight at about 6:35.
All right, off he goes and off we go. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. It's Tuesday morning. It's MP on the mic. Thanks to Trey for dropping by. Update us on everything going on with the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Trey is not responsible for the new stadium. I don't hold him personally responsible for that. We've got a distressing news story this morning on the Richmond Stadium front. This is not where we want to be right now. The city of Richmond may not be able to issue the Flying Squirrels Stadium bonds in time to save the $24 million in sales tax that will expire by state law on July 1st. Eric Kalenich, our guy at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, reporting that Lincoln Saunders, the city's chief administrative officer, says the city will not be able to issue the bonds in time, citing a lawsuit by Paul Goldman that has drawn out the process. The lawsuit was thrown out by a city judge, but he still has the right to appeal within the next few days. Quick reminder here, a lot of the urgency, there are two urgencies around the Flying Squirrel Stadium project. One of them was Major League Baseball has said, open up a new stadium or we'll move the team to somewhere that will. And so that's an urgency here. The second one was the state law changed this year, and it used to be the tax money that you generated from a project like this, building a new stadium, could funnel back into the project itself, essentially. So any tax money that was made over at the new Diamond, instead of going to the city budget and instead of going to the state budget, we just kind of do a little loop and go straight back to paying for the project. So that's less money that has to be paid for the project. That expires July 1st. Look at your calendar. We're close. We're at the buzzer here. Now, it is true that Paul Goldman, a local activist politician guy, I don't know what his title is. He's everywhere, though. He's everywhere. You don't need to look up his title. He's a guy, and he's everywhere. He's not Goad Gadsby. They're very different, but like he's his generation's Goad Gadsby, and that they're wherever there's a political topic, he is there. He is there opining. Now, it is true he filed a lawsuit. It is true that delayed this for a couple of weeks. I would note that the city dragged its feet for the better part of about 18 months here between announcing the project and actually getting on with it and taking the vote. That's time that could have been used to address these concerns. What I don't know right now is if this will derail the project, if this will delay the project. $24 million is not $0. That's a lot of money. As somebody who's in the fundraising business right now, for the Richmonder, I can tell you that's a lot of money. We're trying to raise $500,000 a year to get the Richmonder off the ground. This is $24 million. So that's a lot more money. You could fund a lot of Richmonders with that money, is what I'm saying. You could also fund a baseball stadium with $24 million. So they will have to go back to the drawing board and find $24 million. The other problem here is part of why we had to vote on it when we did, city council voted on it, was that it had to get done so that they could claim this $24 million. And John Beliles, who writes the 5x5 newsletter, if you don't get that, he's a great observer of city politics. He noted there were some flaws in the legislation to create the new baseball stadium. And he pointed them out, and I vouch for it on the show. You can go back on the pod. They were legitimate. But given the choice between flawed legislation and a baseball stadium and not having a baseball stadium, I mean, look, I'm not happy they waited until the last minute to do their homework, but you kind of got to take the good with the bad here and get it across the finish line. Now that there is no finish line for the $24 million, would love to see them go back and clean some of that up. That's probably optimistic thinking. But now that this July 1st deadline has sailed, we're chasing other deadlines now. We've got to find $24 million as a city. So that's not great in the world of squirrels and news. What is great is they're drawn well. It's a well-run team. And if they can get their act together on a new stadium, I think it'll be a great community asset. And I love the team over there tattoo sleeve giveaway, right? Like, that's a great giveaway. They do great work. Now, Eric Kalenich here in his article at the Times-Dispatch says they are still going to break ground on the new stadium this summer. In the coming month, Lincoln Saunders says. So that would be July, presumably. I'm unclear how you can break ground on a stadium without having funding in place for a stadium. Seems like not a minor detail, but a very important detail. I guess we'll find out. But
you're overthinking it.
I'm overthinking
it. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Get a shovel, move some dirt, let's go. Look, I will commit 2 hours of my time to moving dirt out there on the site. That's how much I want a baseball stadium in Richmond.
That, somebody write that down.
Complimentary. That's on me.
Ooh.
Future hours will get billed.
Two is kind.
2 hours, though, I'll get out there. We'll go move some dirt. We'll start building a baseball stadium. It's time.
Get a shovel in the ground.
It's Scott's Addition is red hot. It's starting to sprawl over to that neighborhood. You know, there's new apartments over there. It's time to get this thing done. It's time to build a baseball stadium for Richmond. The bonds will be put up for sale this week. Lincoln Saunders says that we'll pay for the streets, water, and electrical lines that'll go into the stadium in the new neighborhood. So we'll have updates for you by the end of the week if they put these bonds up for sale. I guess you just tack the $24 million on and oops and call it a day. What would the city need $24 million for anyway? Probably just things like sidewalks and power lines and stuff. Nothing essential.
Nothing serious.
Nothing serious. Wouldn't be anything serious. So that's what's going on with the Squirrels Ballpark. And I didn't love waking up to that headline right there. Because yeah. I felt really good when they approved the financing for the stadium. The money is always the hardest part. And they approved the money, but then $24 million has slipped out of their grasp because they're not going to meet the July 1st deadline to issue the bonds. I get that the lawsuit messed them up a little bit. I also think you should have anticipated there was going to be a lawsuit. It feels like that was not out of left field that somebody would file a lawsuit about the baseball stadium. Doesn't surprise me at all. Let's do this. Let's play clip 9 here because there was a College World Series last night. It was a game 3. This is the official end of the college sports year. Coming on the same night, we officially ended our regular sports year with the Stanley Cup, the longest NHL season in history, a regular length college baseball season. It always ends about now. Went to a game 3, though. You heard the Panthers call, their radio call. They were feeling it. I'm going to say that if that was a 10, the Tennessee radio team is maybe a 7.5 or an 8, but they were jazzed. Here's a national title for the Volunteers.
The 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball swung on and missed. He is out. And for the first time in school history, the baseball national title has a home sweet home on Rocky Top. The Tennessee Volunteers, baseball national champions for the first time ever. The final score in this one, Tennessee 6, Texas A&M 5.
That's good. Congrats to the Volunteers. Went up 6-1, held on for the win. Number one seed wins the tournament. Can't get mad when the best team wins the biggest tournament. Can we play clip number 1-2, though? Because that's, well, I think we just need to, look, if you're listening out there in Tennessee land, out in Rocky Top, this is how you call a championship.
10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making.
Yeah!
Is a reality.
Oh!
The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah!
Start the celebration, South Florida. The Panthers have done it.
Stanley Cup champions!
That's a guy who needs two koozies right there. That's a two koozie operation up there in the booth. He was feeling it. It was a juiced up atmosphere. He was riding high. Florida Panthers, Stanley Cup champions. And I make fun of the team. They play in the strip mall. They play in Fort Lauderdale. But they've had some fans who've waited a long time for that win and had to fight to the very last second for it, too. It's the second scream that gets me. The first scream, he's excited. And then he came back, you're like, hang on. I'm not done screaming about this yet. Not done screaming about this yet. Panthers are Stanley Cup champions. Blew the 3-0 lead, came back, won it in Game 7. The fifth consecutive year that a team from Florida has been in the Stanley Cup final, third time that a Florida team has the cup. That's the kind of thing that juices up a market, gets it going. Win a Stanley Cup, there'll be a lot of interest around the Panthers next year, as there should be. Going to be a lot of interest around Edmonton as well. Connor McDavid, the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, as the MVP of the Stanley Cup final. first skater to win it in a losing effort since the 70s. So Connor McDavid has the awards, has the MVPs, certainly inching towards joining those greats. But Alex Ovechkin will tell you it's not easy to check that final box and lift the cup. We're back after this, and we'll tell you which kind of restaurant has grown even in this shrinking economy, and why that is. I'm intrigued by this. You will be as well. We're back after this. It's 910 The Fan, at 105.1 FM. Sales at Texas Roadhouse are up 8% this year. That's similar to Longhorn Steakhouse. Steak restaurants, specifically cheap steak restaurants, cheap steakhouses, as CNN defines them, are the most booming segment of the restaurant industry right now.
How interesting.
So the restaurant industry is suffering right now. People are spending less money on eating out. Everything costs too much. But cheap steakhouses, Outback, Longhorn, Texas Roadhouse, are growing and thriving. The speculation here from CNN is that people view steak as a luxury, but they're holding the line on price, so it feels easier to justify a nice night out as opposed to going to like a Morton's or a Ruth's Chris. That's a bit of an adjustment going from a Ruth's Chris to a Texas Roadhouse. I don't know how many people are like, we were going to go to Morton's tonight, but we're going Outback. That's a leap to me. Those people live in a world I don't live in. But they credit holding the line. Would you like to guess what the average person spends at Longhorn Steakhouse?
$30.
$26.
Oh.
So there you go.
Under.
Value. Representing value.
Bang for your buck.
I feel like steak, too, like, I can essentially buy chicken for basically $0 at a grocery store at any given time. Steak has gotten really expensive, though. So if you're going to go out to eat, you might as well get the nice thing, you know?
Go get steak.
You might as well go get a steak, yeah? Because, like, at Chipotle, it's like, it's $9 for the chicken, it's $10.50 for the steak or whatever. It's like, that doesn't represent the price gap between how I can obtain those ingredients, the cost I'm spending on those ingredients at home. They are speculating that people are continuing to eat out. This is CNN. People are continuing to eat out steak because they're afraid to cook it at home because they think they might ruin it. I've seen lots of people ruin chicken at home too.
I mean,
they're both very, like, you just cook it, you know, like, if you mess it up, try it again. Yeah, it's, you know, you get a bad meal. That happens sometimes.
You learn something.
Is steak harder to cook than chicken?
I wouldn't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah. Like, fish is really hard to cook. To me, if you're gonna put anything in that camp, it would be like, you know, salmon fillet or something. Yeah, that's where it gets dicey to me.
You need some skill in the kitchen for that.
You need a little skill in the kitchen for that. Absolutely. You need a little skill to win a baseball game. You need a little luck sometimes. Or in the case of the Washington Nationals, you could just have the most ridiculous week in baseball history. They lost on a walk-off pitch clock violation in Colorado. The West Coast swing continues. They were in San Diego last night. 3-3 game, went to extras. They put up three in the top of the 10th, a 6-3 lead. All they had to do was record three outs. They didn't do it.
And now the Padres down by one, but down to their final strike. The 2-2 pitch, Profar swings, hits it in the air to deep right center. Thomas is back into the gap, can't get there. They're going to walk it off again. Merrill and Kim score, and the Padres beat the Nationals 7-6.
7-6 Padres. Nats still hovering around 500. If you're going to have bad luck losses, use them up in a season like this when it doesn't matter as much. Let's play clip 10-2 because what was it I told Gary Hess the other day? That the Philadelphia Phillies, they were the cheese pizza of sports, I believe. Look, I don't hate them like I hate the Yankees, but I don't like them either. You know,
they're just Holton deals, and the pitch blasted down the right field line, and that ball is gone. Harper has hit the 3-run home run to break it wide open, and the Phillies now lead 7-1.
Phillies big win last night. Bryce Harper 3-run home run. Continue slugging out there in Philly. Let's throw a bone to our Philly fan listeners. Let him hear a little Bryce Harper home run. Why not? Other big story yesterday, J.J. Redick was introduced as the new coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. He does not have NBA coaching experience. He does, however, have lots of basketball experience, going back to Duke, going back to calling games for ESPN. He's got a very popular podcast. He is now in one of the biggest, highest-profile coaching jobs on the planet, not just coaching the Lakers, who have their own distinguished history, but coaching LeBron James, one of the most famous athletes in the entire world. Here's what he thinks about that.
I've certainly heard everything. You know, it's been a really interesting 6 weeks or so, just in terms of, you know, being part of the engagement farming industry. You know, it's been really interesting. However, I don't really have a great answer for your question, because I really don't give a like, honestly.
the engagement community. That's what happens when you become coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. You become talked about, everything you do. It's the right attitude. The profanity kind of punctuates it a lot there, right? This is the new thing, is to do the strategic curse at your introductory press conference. Dan Quinn did it here. We're seeing a lot more of that, right? That used to be taboo, and now you gotta really, it's the podcast era, right? Podcast, you can curse on a podcast. You can't curse on the radio. You can curse on a podcast. Bunch of podcast guys now coming to become pro sports coach. They gotta sprinkle them in. Some of us are still on terrestrial radio here. Some of us are still minding our business, keeping ourselves clean out there. That's what the bleeps are for. We've kept this show clean for a whole year now. We're still sailing along. I think J.J. Redick has what it takes to be the Lakers coach. I mean, certainly the immersion of being a high-profile player at a program like Duke at that young of an age. I think he's smart enough to coach LeBron. I think, as with everything, the question is where do you go post-LeBron? LeBron's not going to be there forever, and I don't know that LeBron's going to be there for 3 years even. What do you do when you've got a team that's not LeBron caliber and you're still trying to establish yourself as a coach? Do you duck out then? Do you go back to broadcasting? Do you run down that coaching circuit? It's hard to say. I want to skip to number 7 here, because Snoop Dogg has been everywhere over the past few weeks, and he was on NBC's Olympic coverage last night calling the steeplechase, which is my favorite event. I love the random events at the Olympics. What is it, the Winter Olympics? The biathlon. They ski, they shoot a gun. Sure. Why did we combine those two? Probably some military reason. It's a little dated. This is the steeplechase, which combines running and jumping into a shallow pool. They hurdle the hurdles, and there's a little water on the other side. Unclear why this event exists. It was meant for Snoop Dogg to announce.
What we're about to see right now, they're about to get to dipping, ripping, riding, slipping, and hopefully not sliding, jumping over this hurdle in the water. Oh, get up out of there. Oh, they're coming behind him 7-8 deep like horses. I love it. Bunched in and they're running slow, but oh, he's jumping on the top of the hurdle. You can do that? That was a cold trick right there. I like that one. He went off the tippy top.
There you go. I need more Snoop Dogg at the Olympics. They had Peyton Manning on the other night interviewing interviewing the shot putter.
Interesting.
I appreciate this. You got more Snoop for me?
Well, he's going to be at the Olympics announcing.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good news. We need that.
It's going to be a better Olympics because he's there for sure.
As cultural exports go, we're sending our finest to Paris. We're sending Snoop Dogg and air conditioning. I think the world's going to be impressed by what we've got. There's no like 1902 World's Fair or whatever, but I think when they see that we've got Snoop Dogg and air conditioning, they'll have no choice but to be impressed. Bring us your hurdle huddled masses yearning to be free.
That's right. We have air conditioning.
That's going to be the people of France after we flex on them with what we've got. No question. Haven't had an in-person crosstalk with our guy AWOD in a hot minute. We'll do that here on the other side. Take you up to AWOD Radio, noon to 3. Grant and Danny will drive you home. Flying Squirrels Baseball returns to the Diamond tonight. Get out there and watch them take on the baby Yankees of Somerset, or listen to it right here on The Fan. Either way, it's the middle of summer. We're done with hockey. Lakers have a coach. We're done with basketball. College World Series in the books. Just going to let the squirrels take us to the Olympics and training camp now. That's what we got cooking in the sports world. And a little Copa America, too. We'll sprinkle it in. If you missed it, it's on the Odyssey app, of course, with the rewind button. Back after this, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.